Good morning on the East Beltway, I-295 South at St. John's Bluff Road. We're looking at an accident there, and we do see some buildup on the traffic cams. 295 North at Duval Road near the airport, there's another accident. We do see the road rangers on the traffic cams there. And Butler Boulevard West at Southside, two lanes are blocked due to a crash. We're expecting around a 60% chance of afternoon thunderstorms today and a high of 81. This evening, a 40% chance of rain, 70 the low, right now at 71 at WBOB. And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Republican Ron DeSantis will be in Jacksonville today to campaign with Florida U.S. Senator Marco Rubio. Final poll numbers for the 2018 midterm elections still show Democrats are poised for gains, but even the New York Times and CNN are saying nobody is sure what is going to happen on Tuesday. And the state of Florida is on pace to set the record for the highest voter turnout for a midterm election.
Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed@wbob.com.
Those of you on hold, we're going to give you plenty of time. We're going to get to your calls at 222-TALK, 904-222-8255. More as we continue to move along, I am your host, Ed Dean. It is the day. Election day is upon us. Ashley Moody, who looks like she will win that race, she is the Republican running for the Attorney General, replacing my girl, who's being term limited. Pam Bondi, how are you?
Hey, good morning. Great to be with you. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to say hello.
Well, you can say that anytime, but yeah, especially on the air. So here's the thing that I've always been very curious. You know, when we talk with the media, and it's always like, you know, I always ask people, you know, Ashley Moody, or should I say Judge Moody, when you have these debates, you look at the issues between you and the Attorney General's race and your Democrat opponent, Sean Shaw, give me an issue or a topic that you wish would have been covered more by the media or at least better explained by your opponent that maybe was not discussed or talked about enough.
I always think that we need to be talking more about the opioid crisis in Florida. We lose more people to overdose deaths than we do to car accidents and gun violence now in Florida. And it's been a shift in the way the opioid addiction has been available. First, it was pills, and Pam Bondi did such a great job working with Republican leadership to shut down pill mills. But now we're seeing an evolution to where people are dependent more again on heroin and some of the synthetic drugs, fentanyl and carfentanil, and we have to remain vigilant. Our death rates are skyrocketing. It is absolutely a crisis, and so I've pledged on day one to start a statewide task force to address addiction, education, and law enforcement component of the opioid epidemic, but we cannot get fatigue in this area because we have not won this battle, and it will be a consistent fight throughout my tenure as Attorney General.
You know, when you had a primary, one of the questions, I was like, no, I don't want to talk about your primary opponent. I want to talk about the Democrats. Sean Shaw. I mean, I thought Andrew Gillum was pretty, well, some would say radical, and some of his leftist views. Sean Shaw was actually, and this is one of the stories that we uncovered. We've got an article up on floridadaily.com. Sean Shaw was the main bill sponsor of ending the school choice when it comes to the issue of the Step Up Scholarship Program, which offers 2/3 of those in the minority community school scholarship out there. I mean, this guy is blatantly called to be an activist for the Attorney General seat, and I haven't heard that from you. You pretty much sat back and said, I will defend the laws until they're changed the way we have them currently in Florida. I mean, he really is trying to make more of this as an activist position instead of a cabinet position.
You are absolutely right, and you have hit the nail on the head in terms of the difference between myself and my opponent. He has said, and I quote, I will be an activist attorney general. I will use the office to promote a partisan agenda. I will target political opponents and go after them. I will advance my own partisan interests and goals by using that office. You know, the attorney general enforces the rule of law and defends the Constitution. You do not get to be a personal veto on laws that the legislature passes. You do not get to set a partisan agenda because of what you personally believe. And he does not understand that. And it should not be surprising. He's been a political appointee, a politician, and a plaintiff's lawyer. That's what he brings as a candidate to the office of Attorney General. I've been a judge for over a decade, a federal prosecutor. I am the wife of a law enforcement officer. Enforcing the rule of law is a way of life for me. And I am excited to bring that experience, that perspective, that passion, that stability and expectation to the role. And I just need the voters to get out there and vote. Tomorrow we'll determine who sits in that important role, who will make the important decisions. You're going to have whether somebody, when making the important decision, whether to prosecute or litigate, will take partisan politics into account when making those decisions, or me, who has said that I will enforce the rule of law, all the laws that are set forth, and be a strong attorney general to protect the Floridians in this state.
Here on our Newsmaker line, she is the Republican candidate for attorney general, Judge Ashley Moody. One of the things I really find out of all of this, what I find just so mind-boggling, and again, you use this in your primary, but you also use this in the general election, your opponent has no courtroom experience. Would you please explain this? How does this guy become a candidate for one of the most powerful positions in the state?
Well, when I was deciding to run, like I said, my husband is a career law enforcement officer. I had to give up my job as a judge in order to run. And I went home, and of course, you can imagine, resigning a position was a big decision in our family. And he said, Ashley, if people like you that have been a lawyer, a judge, a prosecutor, that have worked with law enforcement, don't run to be the attorney general, then who runs? It's just politicians wanting to take their next step. And that's exactly what has evolved in my race. I am running against a politician that has never prosecuted a case, wanting to be the state's top prosecutor. And recognizing that distinction, I have been endorsed in this campaign by nearly 90% of Florida's sheriffs, Democrat, Republican, and Independent. Mm. And every statewide law enforcement organization has endorsed our campaign. So we are excited about the support that we've garnered over the past year. It's been a lot of hard work. But at this point, you start off with such big ambitions and goals and things that you want to do for the state of Florida. And then along the way, people support you and trust you and put their faith in you. And so tomorrow, I hope that the voters will come out and vote so that we can win this thing.
Ashley Moody, the Judge Ashley Moody here on our Newsmaker line, running for Attorney General here. What is it, when you look at this, the opioid, of course, which I don't think is given enough credit to the current Attorney General at addressing this issue, when you bring up the successes of what Florida's done as the AG, what furthermore do they on the left think that, well, you haven't been too much of an activist on? I mean, what are the issues that they talked about pursuing? You sit back and go, this is not even on the radar here.
Any partisan agenda in the extreme left that you can come up with, my opponent wants to use the office of the Attorney General to advance. When I'm going around the state, I'm talking about the difficult criminal justice issues that we need to attack head on in Florida. And because I have been a judge and a prosecutor, and I've been on both sides of the bench, I am in the best position to attack human trafficking and elder abuse and mental health in our court system and the opioid epidemic. You have to be able to start this important job, leading as top cop, leading as the top prosecutor on day one. It is not a job that you can just learn as you go, because it takes years to develop an understanding of federal and state prosecutors and law enforcement and how they work together and what are their dynamics to accomplishing a successful investigation and successfully prosecuting a case. And so while I have an opponent who likes to talk any political issue he can come up with, call press conferences to attract attention to himself,
right,
I'm focused on the hard work, what we need in order to keep our community safe and make progress on the difficult criminal justice issues we've had difficulty getting our arms around.
You know, I'm always kind of curious, not that you really rely on the endorsements of publications out there, but if there's been any that's endorsed your opponent, Sean Shaw, who's, man, it's just way left sometimes to some of the issues of Andrew Gillum, you bring up just a very simplistic point. If you were a Democrat pointing this to a Republican, I would sit back and say, okay, that's got a valid point. No experience whatsoever in a courtroom. When that issue comes up, how did the media defend Sean Shaw when you bring up that valid point?
You know, I think we all scratch our heads sometimes.
Right.
The media does and says certain things. But look, I've been real fortunate. Not only have had the endorsement of nearly 90% of all sheriffs, Republican, Democrat, and Independent, and statewide law enforcement organizations. Many well-respected newspaper publications have come out, including your area, the Times Union, have come out and endorsed us. And, you know, we're looking forward to winning this thing tomorrow night, putting the election behind us so I can get to work, start making progress on these difficult issues.
All right. Judge Ashley Moody has been a good friend of this radio show, of this station as well, as always. And after you get elected, don't be a stranger.
We won't. Thank you so much. Great to be with you.
All right. She won that primary.
Yeah.
I mean, even here locally.
It was hard fought, too.
Yeah, but she won it pretty significantly. Yeah. So 222-TALK, 222-8255. You guys have been waiting, so let's get to the calls. Let's go to somebody wants to talk about Stand Your Ground. Let's go to Pastor Troy. Hey, good morning. You're on WBOB.
All right, how's it going?
What's going on?
Yeah, well, you know, how do you equate defending yourself in your home with Stand Your Ground, the Stand Your Ground law? The Stand Your Ground law was created for paranoid, weak, conservative whites who fear black people and people who are Hispanic. That's why it was created, and it's just a crutch to kill somebody. And then Trayvon Martin was stalked by Zimmerman and then gunned down, and then when they saw that the Stand Your Ground defense would be weak, they went with another one. So that's how it goes for that. Now, Andrew Gillum will win. He will be the first black governor since the 1700s in the state of Florida. The time has come. The rattlers will strike.
Hold on. Hold on. A couple things. Wait, Roger, did I miss something here? Hold on. Governor in 1700s?
Yeah, I'll have to look that
was
up.
A lieutenant governor in the state of Florida.
Oh, lieutenant governor.
Okay.
Number two, where do you get the facts of this law of Stand Your Ground was specifically targeted to young black men?
No, it was targeted to black people and minorities because white people in Florida have always felt paranoid against black people who just black people in general. They were afraid of them. So that's why the laws reflect that conservative, I have a right to kill somebody if I just think they're doing something wrong.
Now, Pastor Troy, you don't have to believe
the
numbers.
That's how it was created. Well, that's why it was created out of paranoia.
No, there's nothing to prove that. How do you justify that, according to the criminals, according to the Department of Justice, and for the state of Florida, 35% of those you Stand Your Ground have been from the black community in defense then? In trials.
Against what? That means that 65% are whites.
Well, it doesn't matter what the percentage is. If the advocation that the death penalty is abhorrent because if one innocent person can be found not guilty, let's get rid of it, then what about the 35% that have you Stand Your Ground in defense? Why not use that?
Well, look, we have to go with stats, and the stats are not in your favor, sir.
Well, wait. Well, show me the stats of where this was thrown as a race issue against black people for Stand Your Ground.
And you'll find that Stand Your Ground laws are not just in Florida, but they're also nationwide. It's just not a local phenomenon, okay?
Okay, but I need to find out the facts of where this was used as a race incident.
Repeat that.
Where was the facts that this was used as a racial incident to be passed in Florida?
Well, you can see clearly that George Zimmerman and people like him felt emboldened, and that's why that happened.
It was passed way before Zimmerman.
No.
Yes.
It doesn't matter. It was on the books, and it gave him the impetus to feel free enough to go out and commit a heinous crime, and he got away with it seemingly. But time will tell about that.
All right. Well, I don't see those numbers. I'm still waiting for the facts that this was used as a racial component. Again, I think George Zimmerman was a creep, but it was about this at this certain time, his head being beat to a ground. Did he use it in self-defense? By the way, I'll be the first one to admit, Roger, if you look at the George Zimmerman case without relitigating it, if Angela Cordy would have gone for a lesser charge, he might have been busted. They just overcharged, maybe, some would say. 222-TALK, 222-8255. Ron, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Hey, it's Brian.
Oh, hey, Brian. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no worries. That means I jump run, so thank you.
Yeah.
I'm glad you open up and let people like that call. Sit in their ignorance, and that's where we're at. That's the problem with the United States now. And, you want to discuss politics, you want to go through facts, which I think civility is the key, not just to stay quiet on the matter of politics and, race and other touchy issues. that guy's completely clueless, and he presents himself as a pastor, and sadly influences a congregation. So, keep up the good work. Keep letting them call in and let them show that they have no staff.
I appreciate it. You know, and listen, I'm not knocking the pastor down. I give him plenty of time. I just, you know, when people, well, I got to be careful how we use this analysis. Because I'm not going to accuse of using a racial. But when let's just put it this way. When people are in the middle of committing suicide, I don't have to pull the trigger, as they would say. In other words, you just let them talk. Let them show that they're not correct. Now, he may be right about Gillum. I mean, if you look at the polls, Pastor Troy's probably correct. Gillum may win. But I need facts to show that Stand Your Ground was used as a racial component when it was passed against the black man. That's what he said. Did I misunderstand what he said?
It sounded like what he said to me, I'll be honest with you. But I still personally have the big question mark. Why was Stand Your Ground necessary when you already have the right of self-defense? What's the difference?
But Stand Your Ground means for concealed weapons permit. A lot of it was done because of lawyers. It was to, again, stop from somebody attacking you, coming at you. Doesn't mean it gives you the right to go after them.
If Stand Your Ground had not been passed and someone was attacking me, I don't have a right to defend myself?
Yeah, you have a concealed weapons permit. But, again, they have to have laws because the trial lawyers want to take things out of, you know, some of those areas. Let's go to Craig. Craig, good morning. You're on WBOB.
And hey, Roger, how are y'all doing?
Great. Hey, good morning.
Good morning, good morning. Thank you for letting me on. Just a couple of quick points. I'm not familiar with when Stand Your Ground started or when it didn't, but a couple of things. I do believe probably I'm a Republican. I'm a white guy. I'm middle-aged. I teach my kids to respect all races, respect all people. I'm a Christian. I go to church, I serve, I do all of that, and I believe that Andrew Gillum will probably win because it has nothing to do with his policies, which if this pastor would look beyond the man's color, again, beyond the man's color, and look at his policies, he's going to see that he's a very progressive individual, and this gentleman who said he was a pastor, again, he's one day going to have to answer for all decisions he makes. And if you're voting for somebody who's a firm believer in that abortion rights are, should be continued, and you're a believer in the abortion rights and all of that, then you will have to answer for those decisions. And I don't think that I don't think any race should be a black or white, even on the white side.
Right.
I mean, if you put a conservative black candidate in front of me, I'm going to vote for him all day long because
right.
I believe he'll have the best interest of Florida above some progressive movement, which George Soros and all some of these others around the country who have billions of dollars seem to be wanting to transition our country into some progressive country. And this gentleman, the pastor, if he would get beyond this whole racist thing, then I believe that and look at Andrew Gillum's policies and what Andrew Gillum will do to the state, he would not have voted for him.
Yeah, I got to get Ronnie. I mean, Terrence Freeman, whether you agree with his views or not, or how he became a city council person, I think I'm the first one to admit they should have done it through the elective process instead of appointing him. But we play the clips. Those in the black community do not like Terrence Freeman because he's a Republican. That is what we play the clips from News 4 Jax. That's what they reported because he is a Republican. And yes, the last caller brings up a great point. If you're a pastor, pro-life, pro-school choice, blah, 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 on social issues, how could you vote for Andrew Gillum? Because if it's based on race, I'm sorry, man, you just lost all credibility. That's like saying, well, I'm voting for Trump because he's from the North. I'm voting for somebody because he's from Florida State or University of Florida. More of your calls coming up next. Talk Radio WBOB.
295 North at Duval Road. Look out for a crash there. Butler Boulevard, west at Southside Boulevard. There's been a pretty bad wreck with several cars involved. Two lanes are blocked in 95 North at University. There is a crash there this morning. Traffic brought to you by Snyder Heating and Air Conditioning.
Hi, this is Pastor Angel, asking you to invite your friends who speak Spanish to tune in to our Sunday Spanish programming here on WBOB. Sundays at 5 p.m., The Season with Jesus, right after the Spanish broadcasting of the Jaguars game. Every Sunday, there will be a different topic presented by our team of local Spanish-speaking pastors teaching God's Word to members of the Spanish-speaking community. So don't miss A Season with Jesus, right here on AM 600 and FM 101.1 WBOB.
I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods. We understand that shopping for jewelry can be a frustrating experience, with everybody claiming they're a gemologist and people using loose quality grading standards. It's also impossible for a layman to be able to judge a gemstone for quality. So all a person can really do is judge the jeweler. Now at Underwoods, we're members of the American Gem Society, where our jewelers are registered and our sales associates and gemologists are certified. We're tested on an annual basis to re-win these professional titles. In fact, the American Gem Society was founded in 1934 to protect the consumer, and members can be thrown out for unethical practices. Underwoods is the longest-standing member in the state of Florida. Now, not every jeweler is a member, so if you're shopping for jewelry, ask those common-sense questions like, what are your qualifications? Ask to see their education certificates, and ask if they're members of the American Gem Society. And if they're not a member, you might want to ask, why not?
Lots of rain with thunderstorms today, a high of 81. This evening, more rain expected with a low of 70. Right now, 71 degrees at WBOB.
Laura Ingram next at 9. Dennis Prager at noon on Talk Radio, AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Republican Ron DeSantis will be in Jacksonville today to campaign with Florida U.S. Senator Marco Rubio. Final poll numbers for the 2018 midterm elections still show Democrats are poised for gains, but even the New York Times and CNN are saying nobody is sure what is going to happen on Tuesday. And the state of Florida is on pace to set the record for the highest voter turnout for a midterm election.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed at WBOB.com.
Oh, boy, 222-TALK, 222-8255, the email address ed at WBOB.com. President Obama on the campaign trail telling people the reason why they need to vote for the Democrats and Andrew Gillum.
Because America's at a crossroads. The health care of millions is on the ballot. A fair shake for working families is on the ballot. Perhaps most importantly, the character of our country. Sometimes it's taken a little longer than it should. But when we've made the right decision, when we've chosen the better course, it hasn't just happened by itself. It's happened because ordinary folks decided we're going to get off the couch.
I'm kind of curious. So the people that put in Trump in 2016 are unordinary, Roger? Just kind of curious. Only when they like Democrats.
Well, the same people, in many cases, voted for both Trump and Obama, which is very interesting.
Let's go to Steve. Hey, Steve, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Good morning. Yeah, originally, I was calling to talk about Stand Your Ground, but I wanted to make a different point.
All right.
That that pastor who called, I mean, I can only laugh at the ignorance. But the one thing I am so sick of is the mainstream media. If Ron DeSantis was somewhere 11 years ago and someone made a comment, he's held accountable for being a racist. But then you got Gillum, who his staffer on Project Veritas was calling Florida a cracker state, okay? And then you see Gillum walking with Al Sharpton the other day, a known racist, and
right.
No one calls him out on it. No one calls him out.
Yeah.
It's the double standard is ridiculous.
Steve, you bring up a great point. He has the support of the New Black Panther Party and adored by those of the anti-Semites of Louis Farrakhan. I mean, not that they're, and by the way, the Dream Defenders, who says that the originality of police and all of them were, you know, slave owners on the plantation. Come on, man. I mean, yet Gillum can get away with all of that, but if DeSantis makes a comment about monkeying up or at the barbecue or whatever, he gets thrown under the bus. Listen, if you want to say it's all that, whatever, just be consistent, which we don't have. More of your calls coming up next at 222-TALK, 222-8255, Talk Radio, WBOB.
On Butler Boulevard going west at Southside, there's been a wreck involving, we're counting at least three cars, two lanes are blocked, and 95 North at University Boulevard, there's been a pretty bad accident causing major backups.
The Bojangles Country Fried Steak Biscuit may be their greatest biscuit ever, and they're on sale now for just 99 cents.
You heard right. Bojangles Country Fried Steak Biscuits, now just 99 cents, and served all day for breakfast, lunch, or dinner at Bojangles. Bojangles on Beach, Southside, and Blanding.
Hello, I'm Ted Yoho, and I'm your congressman for Florida's 3rd Congressional District. I'm asking for your support and your vote in this upcoming November 6th election. Let me tell you why. In the past 2 years, we've cut taxes and reduced regulations, creating the best economy in decades. Today, we have the lowest unemployment in recent history across all demographics. A stronger economy means a stronger job market. That means higher wages, increased benefits, and better opportunities. More importantly, we're improving education for all of our children, whether it's in medicine, high tech, STEM and the arts, or high paying trade jobs. We're making sure that every child is educated today for the jobs of tomorrow. We want to make sure our schools are safe so children can learn free of fear. That's why we've provided funding for mental health counseling and enhanced security on campuses across our district. Now is the time to continue this focus on growing our economy and helping our children achieve their fullest potential. Let's keep the future bright. Visit TedYoho.com and please vote on November 6th. I'm Ted Yoho and I approve this message.
Grassroots Natural Market in Fleming Island is now offering CBD oil. If you haven't learned about the benefits of CBD oil, well, now is the time. Numerous medical studies have shown that CBD oil reduces nausea, eases inflammation, suppresses seizure activity, combats depression, and much more. Grassroots Natural Market in Fleming Island. Fresh, all-natural foods, name-brand vitamins and supplements, and now they're stocking CBD oil. Grassroots Natural Market in Fleming Island. Eat healthy, live healthy. Call 541-0009. That's 541-0009.
Transmission problems? Call Action Transmission Specialists on Merrill Road, where you get the work done right the first time by the experts. I'm Robin Sidbury, the owner. Our techs can service all makes and models, and we provide a nationwide warranty so you have the peace of mind knowing we solve your transmission troubles fairly and honestly and guaranteed nationwide. Call us at Action Transmission Specialists on Merrill Road, where quality counts. Get traction. Call Action at 744-0755.
Lots of rain and thunderstorms this afternoon. We'll have a high of 81. This evening, more rain with thunderstorms. 70 degrees the low. Right now, 71 here at WBOB.
Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed@wbob.com.
First Lieutenant Governor Pastor Troy. Who was it in 1700s? Don't say it. I just got it because I go Wikipedia. I can't find it.
I'll have to look it up.
Number two, I got an email sent to me by a friend. She says that the first governor of Florida, I don't think it was Jose Simon Sanchez, was from Spain, not black. So I don't know. Come on, folks. Just give me the right facts here if you're going to debate, okay? Your calls are coming up next. 222-TALK. 222-8255. This is Talk Radio WBOB.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. It's one more day on the campaign trail for the candidates ahead of tomorrow's midterm elections. President Trump spent the weekend stumping for Republicans. Today, he'll visit three states, leading rallies in Ohio, Indiana, and Missouri. The U.S. Senate contest in Nevada could prove the ultimate test of the president's coattails. Latest polls have Republican Senator Dean Heller running neck and neck with Democrat Jackie Rosen. A makeshift memorial outside a school in western Wisconsin as the community mourns the loss of three Girl Scouts and a parent. They were killed by a driver while picking up trash along the side of a road over the weekend. The driver, 21-year-old man, facing four homicide charges. On Wall Street this morning, stock futures in the red. Dow futures down about 106 points. S&P futures are off two, and S&P futures are down 3 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Good morning on Butler Boulevard going west near Southside. Major backup there. There's been a crash involving at least three cars. Two lanes are blocked, and traffic is pretty much at a standstill. Also at 295 North at Normandy Boulevard, a wreck with at least three cars there, lots of backup. Most of the accident now off to the side, but still causing delay. And if you are at 295 North at Duval Road, a wreck there. Lots of rain with thunderstorms today, 81 the high. This evening, more rain on a low of 70. Currently it is 71 at WBOB. And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. The state of Florida is on pace to set the record for the highest voter turnout for a midterm election. Republican Ron DeSantis will be in Jacksonville today to campaign with Florida U.S. Senator Marco Rubio. And the final poll numbers for the 2018 midterm elections still show Democrats are poised for gains, but even the New York Times and CNN are saying nobody is sure what is going to happen on Tuesday.
Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed@wbov.com.
3 weeks from this Friday is the second anniversary of the morning show. We're going to have it here at the Salem Center. Hundreds will show up. It's going to be free food, free giveaways. I like that. I'm a Republican. Get off the couch. So, Dems keep telling me, get off that couch.
Don't boo, vote.
That's right. So anyways, it's going to be Friday evening from about 6 to 8, 6 to 9 here at the Salem Center. And it's going to be huge. But folks, I need to get you on the list. Otherwise, I got to turn you away. I don't want to do that. Free food, free entertainment. We're going to be giving away gift cards, cash prizes. You got to get on the list. Two ways you can do it. Email me, ed@wbob.com. Adults only, by the way, for the most part. ed@wbob.com or go to eventbrite.com. Register there. Go to eventbrite.com, type in the keywords Ed Dean or WBOB. Before we get to the calls here in just a brief moment, those in the black community are doubling the numbers than you saw in 2014 here in the state of Florida. According to some of the polls and the numbers out there, and also some of the by the poll watchers, the count shows that more than 423 those in the black community have voted as of yesterday. And the turnout will still even be higher. My question is, if that's the case, and I guess the recent comments by Jamal Watkins from the NAACP, wait till you hear this, hold no water.
We find that, you know, say a mother of four who's going to work and has to travel past four or five polling places, and she has to go through all of these sort of hoops and ladders in order to actually cast her ballot, when in fact she's a hardworking American. And so when we start to look at the way in which the laws are constructed, it's not designed for participation, it's designed to create barriers. And what we're seeing is that when laws like photo ID start to get passed, and when you start to see polling places in terms of, you know, early vote hours being curtailed, the data shows it actually limits participation. Why would we want to do that in a country that values and prides itself?
So here's the question. If the number of those in the black community have doubled since that of 2014, then what in the world is this guy talking about then? Because evidently there is no suppression happening in the black community if their numbers are doubling then compared to what we saw of 2014.
Well, in the state of Florida, if you miss two general elections, your names are going to be taken off the roll. So you have to make sure you get out and vote every election.
Okay, but I'm still looking for the answer. Where's the voter suppression? I didn't ask about whether or not your name was taken off the ballots. That predominantly is among against Republicans as well. But where's this voter suppression in the black communities if they're shown in record numbers? Duval County, more Democrats showing up, and a lot of those in the black communities are showing up.
Maybe the Democrats feel that it'll be even greater than the record numbers that we're currently seeing now if, for example, Amendment 4 passes.
I don't know. Let's go to Marty. Marty, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Good morning, brother. Pleasure, as always, and I will see you at the party with a few people. Listen, I know something about guns, having been a cop for 20 years. Gillum and the people who are talking about the guns and stand your ground and all of that nonsense. I worked in the ghetto for 20 years, and I want to tell people, and I want to get an amen from them. Places like West Augustine in St. John's County, certain neighborhoods in Jacksonville, Harlem, Bedford-Stuyvesant, who's ones? Blacks are shooting blacks. It's not white people. Blacks, anybody who doesn't have a felony can carry a gun in their car. All right? So this nonsense about gun control and stuff like that and stand your ground, I think I saw a statistic that said that most of the people who invoke the stand your ground are black people. But there's this thing about taking away your guns, so I just want people to know what they're talking about. Check the statistics, and the next time, if anybody out there hears about a KKK guy shooting somebody in West Augustine, I'll buy you dinner. You just contact Ed Dean. It's the black people killing black people in these neighborhoods with guns.
I mean, we have, and I appreciate the call. We also have in the white communities as well, but the majority predominantly, when you look at the crime, yes, those numbers show that. But to what the caller said, the pastor, again, I mean, they sit back and say that stand your ground was created because white people, is what he said, are paranoid And yet, when I point them out that according to the Department of the statistics, when the Department of Crime, when the FBI, when they break them down by Florida, and the criminal departments in Florida also break it down that in court cases, 35%+ of those in the black community have used Stand Your Ground to defend themselves. Well, 65% of the white, it doesn't matter what color you are. There's 70% more whites than there are blacks here in the state of Florida, according to the, if you look at the registration numbers. That's just based on numbers. So you can't be using percentages out there. I mean, I could. But to sit back and say, well, it doesn't matter. It's been heavily used. Well, if there's more white people in the community, yeah, by the law of large numbers, yeah. But if a decent group of those in the black community have you Stand Your Ground, come on, folks, you got to give me a bigger issue than Trayvon Martin and George Zimmerman. Let's go to Lawrence. Lawrence, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Hey, this voter suppression crap is just what it is. I mean, with early voting, you can vote 7 days a week. There's no reason that they can cause for voter suppression. And as far as having an ID, you know, we've gone over this many times. You need an ID to collect Social Security, to cash a check. You know, anything you do nowadays, you got to have an ID for it. So there's no such thing as voter suppression. The only voter suppression is that these people just don't want to vote, and they just want to make it. I mean, you could get an absentee ballot sent to your house. So there's no such thing as voter suppression anymore.
Let me ask a question. When you hear Andrew Gillum talking about, that may not be an issue with you, Lawrence, but let me ask, when you hear those that talk about Stand Your Ground is racist and all the other stuff out there, do you even talk about that issue?
No. Nobody really talks about Stand Your Ground except for these so-called activists. I think Stand Your Ground is a great way for blacks to protect themselves, because that's one of the main problems, like the guy was talking about, all the crime in the black community. Andrew Gillum wants to make sure that the only people who are going to have guns are criminals, really. That's what it boils down to. The average person is not going to be able to protect himself any kind of way.
All right.
With a baseball bat.
All right, man. Yeah, according to Andrew Gillum, you got to be able to use your tasers anymore.
He might want to take away baseball bats if they get to be too much in use.
Yeah, going to go after a knife as well. So, all right, good to talk to you. 222-TALK, 222-8255. Hey, Dan, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Hey, guys, how you doing? Hey, I just wanted to give a heads up. I didn't know if you guys knew this or if it's been talked about, but I used to be a government employee. And, you know, when you work for the government, they give you an hour off to vote. Just want to make sure you guys knew that. Just want to give a heads up. Thanks.
All right. I did not know that.
Not know that. Does that differentiate state or city or federal government?
But, hey, you know, something that just hit me there was a story. Carlos Lopez Quintero, who's the lieutenant governor. Carlos may be at our event, by the way, in about 3 weeks. I was doing a story a few years back. He was the former majority leader here in Florida.
Okay.
Won the property appraiser down in Miami, became the lieutenant governor. He's probably going to run for Miami-Dade mayor down there in 2020. There was a story because he had to deal with the unions when he became property appraiser. There's unions in the property appraiser in South Florida.
Oh, really?
He sat back and said, to what the last caller just said. Now, I'm not trying to make this a partisan label, but evidently the majority of those down there are Democrats with the unions and government offices. So we did a story where he was on a radio show, and he was talking about where, to the last caller, you allow an hour off to go vote?
Mm-hmm.
He goes, these people were taking off time for several hours complaining that when there was to go out and vote, they were giving you an hour to get out and vote downstairs. They were taking longer time and hitting up the taxpayers to get paid for it.
Interesting. Now, were there hour or 2 hour long waits? That's the question. Or were they out running errands?
No, he says, yeah,
or going
he says
shopping at the mall.
Yeah, he says that's what he. There wasn't that long. They give you plenty of time. Hey, is it possible that we could see a split ticket here in Florida, meaning Governor DeSantis, Senator Nelson, or Senator Scott and Governor Gillum, according to Ben Dominique from The Federalist. That's possibly if you look at Florida's track record.
On the flip side, I look at a state like Florida and anticipating the kind of historical ticket splitting that you've seen there could easily result in a situation where perhaps Rick Scott wins the Senate seat, Andrew Gillum wins the governorship. That's going to be a huge a factor in terms of determining things post the next census and everything else that happens in a state that's critical for the presidential year.
You know, what we haven't heard is from a lot of the local listeners. And to be honest, they have not even commented about the tax collector, which Mia Jones may win. Mm-hmm. What about the District 15 between Wyman Hu and Tracy Paulson? A Democrat who's coming on strong, going after Wyman about how old, you know, she claims that he wants to sell JEA, which would raise your rates and things of that nature. We haven't heard much about those races as well that could possibly. What about down the school board?
Mm-hmm.
That could possibly have a trickle-down effect.
I've only seen like one or two school board candidates even campaigning. You know, it's hard to kind of see who they are.
Well, they were at the churches yesterday, I can tell you that. But I kind of want to hear from you at 222-8255. Fox Business News Network anchor Maria Bartiromo says, what's going on with Florida? It is a purple state. But the off-year elections, it's been red. It's being red as of lately. And if this is the case of a strong economic record due to deregulation or Governor Rick Scott and tax cuts, she asked the question, how come Gillum's leading in the polls?
I guess first, give me the state of affairs. I know Florida has long been unpredictable, but it has appeared to be a red state for a long time now. Certainly small government, low taxes, no income tax for individuals. And yet you're trailing Gillum, who is a self-stated progressive who wants to raise taxes. What happened to Florida?
Now, Roger says they're not voting on the issue. You say they're voting on the person.
I think they are. They like his personality. They like his charisma. They inspire him. They inspire them when they hear him speaking. And I think that's a big reason why Gillum is so popular, because basically an election is a popularity contest.
So they're not voting on the issues whatsoever.
I think some are. I think a lot are not. I think a lot of people are just inspired by who he is as a candidate.
222-TALK, 222-8255, TALK Radio, WBOB.
295 going north at Duval Road. There has been a crash on Butler Boulevard West just after Southside. Major backup there due to a wreck involving numerous cars, and two lanes are blocked. And 95 north on the ramp to University Boulevard, another bad accident there.
Internal Revenue Service. When you owe a personal or business tax debt and can't pay, just hearing those three words brings feelings of fear and anxiety. I'm Jonathan David Suryash, Managing Tax Attorney at J. David Tax Law. Everyone knows that if you owe the IRS and don't pay, it's only a matter of time before tax liens, wage garnishments, or bank levies happen to you. The first step to resolution is our no-cost consultation. We take the time to go through your specific tax problem step by step. We explain exactly what your options are and how we will resolve your tax issue. J. David Tax Law is a local firm right here in Jacksonville, where only an experienced tax attorney will represent you. Our fee payment plans are affordable for everyone. If you have tax problems, call us now for a no-cost consultation at 904-507-4777. That's 904-507-4777, or find us on the web at jdavidtaxlaw.com. That's jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away.
If you're like most people and you see two gas stations and one sells gas for a little bit less, you go to that one. It just makes sense. Every little bit helps. But here's what's weird, though. Sometimes we save a few pennies here and there and ignore opportunities to save huge money, life-changing money. If you switch to MediShare for your health care, it could be massive savings for you. The typical savings for a family is $500 a month. Think what you could do with that over time. Just doing the math, that's $6,000 a year. That is significant. And yes, people love it, and they love it because it works. It's believers who share each other's healthcare costs. More than 400,000 people are now members of MediShare, and it's growing like crazy. Find out how much you could save and why MediShare is so popular. Go to MediShare.com or call 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE. MediShare.com or 877-64-BIBLE.
Jennifer Candelino for Snyder Air Conditioning. Should you repair or replace your air conditioning system? It's a question that our customers ask us every day. So Snyderman has put together a short quiz to help you make your own decision. Just log on to SnyderAC.com, take the short quiz, and decide for yourself. Repair or replace? Your answer will become very clear. And our repair or replace quiz is easy. Simply log on to SnyderAC.com and answer the 5 short questions. There's a reason that Snyder Air Conditioning has been Jacksonville's leading air conditioning company for over 40 years, with the highest quality products and only honest and reliable workmanship. Every Snyder technician has been certified and professionally trained and committed to 100% customer satisfaction. At Snyder, they know you expect your comfort needs to be fixed right the first time. So log on to SnyderAC.com today and take the short quiz, repair or replace. Call Snyderman today at 641-0600. License number CAC 1813307.
Do you ever wonder how we're streaming millions of movies on demand or turning homes into hotels? And how are we watching a live mission from Mars? Smart business minds dreamed these ideas, and Amazon Web Services is how they built them. With the broadest functionality and the most experience, the leading enterprises trust the AWS cloud to build the next big idea. Are you ready to build it? Learn more at awsishow.com.
We're expecting a lot of rain with thunderstorms by the afternoon. Our high will be 81 tonight. More rain with thunderstorms and a low of 70. Right now it's 71 degrees at WBOB.
Laura Ingram next at 9. Now back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on Talk Radio AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Final poll numbers for the 2018 midterm elections still show Democrats are poised for gains. But even the New York Times and CNN are saying nobody is sure what is going to happen on Tuesday. The state of Florida is on pace to set the record for the highest voter turnout for midterm election. And Republican Ron DeSantis will be in Jacksonville today to campaign with Florida U.S. Senator Marco Rubio.
Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed@wbob.com.
So they got Rubio out today to campaign with DeSantis. I heard you weren't available.
Yeah, I was not available to go on the stump. Hey, I got to work on the radio. So.
Let's go to Amber. Amber, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Hey, good morning. I have one question, and I also was talking about the school board for District 6. It's Dave Chauncey against Charlotte Joyce, and I'm going to go with Charlotte Joyce. She had been a teacher in the past. She's very conservative. She's pro-magnet programs. Dave Chauncey, I believe he was a teacher for 1 year, and now he's an attorney. To me, he's just a politician running for something. So I'm going for Charlotte Joyce. One question I have about all the judges. In the past, you know, I have voted, and I heard some of your listeners saying that they were going to vote no for the judges, but I'm a little nervous about voting no to retain all of these judges who are either appointed by Rick Scott and one by Jeb Bush. If we don't retain them and Gillian gets in, does that what happens then?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's a kind of a two-part question. Now, some of these could have been appointed by Democrats as well. But, yeah, some
of
these.
None of them. I looked them all up.
Oh, so they're appointed. They're appointed by Rick Scott then, right?
Yes, Rick Scott, and then only Brad Thomas was in 2005 by Jeb Bush.
But okay.
Most of them were by by Rick Scott.
Yeah, if that's so the case, yeah, I don't think most people know that. A lot of people usually vote no, but then again, at times they're always retained.
Right. Yes, I noticed that too. But I was just wondering, I'm a little nervous about Gilliam getting in as a Democrat, as a governor.
Well, that could happen tomorrow.
Well, let's find out.
All right, good to talk to you. 222-TALK, 222-8255.
New economic numbers on Friday showed 250,000 new jobs, steady unemployment at a 49-year low. Mm-hmm. I know wage growth has been lagging, but this is the best annual wage growth since 2009, topping 3% for the first time since the Great Recession. That's higher than it ever got during your 4 years as labor secretary. Yet your statement in response to the numbers was, quote, too many working families have been left behind in the Trump economy. What are you talking about?
CNN's Jake Tapper asking the current chair of the Democrat National Committee and former labor secretary underneath Barack H. Obama, Tom Perez. Perez just kind of sidesteps and downplays the current economic situation.
I'm talking about real wage growth. If you're if you get a dollar more in your paycheck and the cost of gasoline, the cost of health care, the cost of housing goes up by $3, you're not better off. And by the way, we created more jobs in the last 21 months of the Obama administration than in the first 21 months of the Trump administration. But what it's all about, Jake, is that people...
Well, first off, we'll talk about that in a second. I thought Obama was giving credit for the current economy. So the jobs are not there. They're slower than what before. Is that Trump's fault or Obama's fault? I'm confused.
Need to feel that if they not work really a full-time bad. Job, they're actually able to feed their family and not tread water. And that's what's happening across this country. Too many people are working two or three jobs to make ends meet because their salaries aren't enough. And the cost of living is going through the roof. And health care is...
So he sidestepped and wanted to go to the discussion of health care. First off, the majority of jobs that were created, a lot of many sectors, mm-hmm. with Obama the last 2 years, were part-time jobs. The difference is, with the Trump economy, more full-time jobs are being created, according to the Labor Department. So Jake Tapper says, well, wait a second. The things that you're talking about just don't prove to be those numbers are accurate. In fact, when you look at the Trump economy, it's doing much better than that of the Obama economy.
I understand why you want to change the subject to pre-existing conditions, but let's focus on the economy for 1 second, because you just said two things that are not borne out by the facts. A new poll just out this morning shows that optimism in the economy is at its highest point since January 2001. And your claim that all these people are working multiple jobs, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, that's only 5% of the current workforce that has multiple jobs. So it looks to me like you're saying things that aren't true to try to put a gray cloud over the economic good news.
And there you go. Tapper also points out that wages are the highest they've been during the 10 years, even when President Obama was in office.
Wage growth is better than it has been since 2009. That means it is better than it has been for 7 out of 8 of the years that Obama was president and all 4 years that you were Secretary of Labor.
Now, if this is a deciding factor, mm-hmm. you would think Republicans would be winning overall. Now, we won't know till tomorrow night.
Right.
But yet, you don't hear this much campaign about.
I was going to say that. We don't hear it talked about a lot by the campaigns, how well the economy is doing. We have even had Ron DeSantis on earlier, and he said that, you know, he wishes that the media would spend more time focusing on how great the economy is doing right now.
No, I would agree with you on that. But here's the thing. Governor Rick Scott, I've not seen one ad in the general election against Bill Nelson talking about the success of the Scott economy. Have you seen one ad?
I cannot recall one, no. I can't recall. However, maybe there is an argument that could be made that as a member of the U.S. Senate, you have a different role than as a governor of a state, and he may not have a whole lot of input on how he can...
No, you're running your track or can run for a higher office. They do it all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, Bill Nelson will talk about bringing home the goodies and stuff like that, so... More as we continue to move along, Talk Radio WBOB.
On Butler Boulevard, going westbound, pretty bad accident this morning involving at least 3 cars. And earlier, 2 lanes were blocked. It looks like 1 lane's blocked, but still, we are seeing delays there.
The Cal Thomas Commentary is brought to you by Values Through Media. Now, here's syndicated columnist Cal Thomas.
What about those bombs delivered to prominent Democrat politicians and at least one celebrity? Were they real or a political stunt? Investigators are looking into it, and maybe we'll have an answer, but if we have it before the election, will it make a difference? If it is a left-wing person who thought such behavior might harm Republicans, will the media and Democrat politicians care? Not as much as if the person or persons turn out to be a Republican or a conservative. Look at the reaction to other shootings, just beginning with Lee Harvey Oswald, who murdered JFK. The media played down his love for the Soviet Union and Cuba. Same with the shooter of Congresswoman Gabby Giffords and many others in Arizona. Then there was the man who shot Congressman Steve Scalise on the Alexandria, Virginia baseball field. He had a list of Republicans he wanted to kill and was a Bernie Sanders supporter. Totally different reaction from the media and from the left. Let's wait for all the evidence to show who's behind these mailings, but the cynic in me says it wasn't real, but a plot to disrupt the election. I'm Cal Thomas.
For a free copy of today's commentary, visit calthomas.com or write us at Values Through Media, P.O. Box 373340, Key Largo, Florida 33037. That's P.O. Box 373340, Key Largo, Florida 33037. Please specify the date and subject. Your tax-deductible gifts to Values Through Media help support us. Listen again next time for the Cal Thomas Commentary.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
It's probably been about 10 years ago. I had quite a few credit cards. The interest on the cards was really high. I was making the minimum payments, but barely. And it was just getting to be too much, so I called Trinity.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976 to talk to a certified counselor.
They met with me, and they were able to get all of my credit cards in one lower payment.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
They did help me learn how to manage my money. Now, you know, we have a house, and we're doing a lot better.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
My name is Holly, and I am debt-free for keeps.
1-800-990-6976.
The year was 1957, and Elvis Presley purchased a mansion in Memphis and named it Graceland. And in Liverpool, the Cavern Club opened and featured the Beatles, which is where the Fab Four got their start. 1957 was also the year that the Bogers family opened their shoe store in Park Street here in Jacksonville. Since then, Boger Shoes has been providing orthopedic and diabetic shoes for thousands of customers in Northeast Florida. Boger Shoes specializes in extra-wide width shoes, and they offer free evaluations and fittings by three board-certified podiatrists on staff. With your doctor's prescription, they can custom make orthotics in their on-site lab. And for the month of November, the Birkenstock Boston is the shoe of the month, and you will receive a 10% discount off Dansko shoes. Some restrictions apply. Good old-fashioned customer service has been the key to Boger Shoe success since 1957. Stop by 1014 Park Street in Five Points and experience the Boger Shoes difference. Boger Shoes, the answer for hurting feet. A 60% chance of thunderstorms by the afternoon and a high of 81. 40% chance of thunderstorms this evening, 70 the low. Right now it's 72 at WBOB.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email Ed at WBOB.com.
Coming up tomorrow night, Roger, we have election night coverage. We're going to be kicking it off around 7 o'clock. Kevin Derby, editor from Florida Daily, Bill Carter, former CNN News correspondent, former managing director of First Coast News here out of Jacksonville, is going to join us. Strictly News, we're going to give you all the coverage of what's going on, even down to the local race. We'll give you all that, plus the analysis. Don't forget, 3 weeks from this Friday is the second year anniversary of this morning show, which we're thankful to God every day for the show and thankful to all of you that have made it what it is. We're having our second year anniversary. It is a free event. It's a big old party. We're going to have a good time. Free food. Adults only for the most part. If you got a couple teenagers, shoot me an email. I have to approve it. But anyway, no kids. We want the adults to have a night off. But it's going to be Friday, the Friday after the week after Thanksgiving. So it's the week after.
Not Good Friday.
Yeah. Good Friday.
No, it won't
Good
be.
Friday's in, what are you talking about? That's Black Friday.
Black Friday.
Which,
me.
By the way, for people like me with my stock portfolio, that is very Good Friday, okay?
I'm getting my Fridays mixed up.
That's right.
A week after Black Friday, okay.
More coffee, Roger, okay?
Haven't
anyway,
had any, yeah.
So anyway, so you just, if you, two ways of getting on. You go to eventbrite.com, eventbrite.com, type in the code words WBOB or Ed Dean, or email me, ed@WBOB.com, ed@WBOB.com. We're going to give away gift cards, cash prizes, man. I'm telling you, it's going to be fun. Free event. I love to meet you. We're going to have a great time, but you got to email me to get on the list. Go to eventbrite.com, type in the keywords Ed Dean or WBOB, or email me ed@WBOB.com. Tomorrow's the day. Get out and vote. Good Lord willing, we'll see you tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. right here on Talk Radio WBOB.